No, that's all because God sent him with a mighty hand. In the same manner, when the children of Israel were going to enter the promised land, God also sent them with a mighty hand. That is, there is a force working on their side. He said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. What it means is that there is an enablement that God has placed inside me. Paul called it grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That is, you see it, it appears like I'm struggling and producing more results more than everybody else. He said, but it's not I. Is a grace of God, the power of God working with me. I'm bringing out something. Once God gives you a vision, gives you a word, there is a mighty hand that goes with it, period. Now, this is the issue. When the man says, I can't because I'm a youth, the grace disappears. Then, like we said before, at the end of the day, they say, try. Okay, let me try. Let me just show you that I can't. Then he does it, and of course he can't. And you know what he says? Did I not tell you? And Satan says, yes, you told me. And I heard it. Thank you very much for telling me. You're my good friend. You know, you are a very honest person. You don't deceive yourself. So I hear things like that. I just know Satan is talking. Satan says, you know it cannot be done. How can it be done? I know it cannot be done. Thank you very much. Say it again. It cannot be done. Say it again. It cannot be done. Thank you. As you are saying it, the grace to do it is departing. How will it be done? I don't know. So it cannot be done. Say, no. It can be done. And in fact, it will be done. Then suddenly, God brings the grace. Please go and listen to that message again. What I call the sure mercies of David. The mercies of David. There's nowhere you want to get to in life that God has not sent help. You may not have contacted them yet, but you must stay in the place of going to work. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like we're talking about that Lagos. You are going to Lagos. Once you head towards Lagos, you will get there. It might be difficult. It might be slow, but you will get there. If the road is so bad that small cars can't pass, jeeps will start passing alone. You will find a jeep to carry you. If you don't know this Lagos, I must get to, God will arrange it so that you take a flight. Once you are facing Lagos, please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. There's nowhere that you want to get to in life that God has not ordained people to help. Listen, there are circumstances of life that God has prepared that you have not yet encountered. Let me explain what I'm saying. A lot of our parents who worked as civil servants all their lives and all of that, they still don't understand the concept that a man does not need to have a job. I don't know whether you get the point. The other day, my brother sitting down there, my mom and I were talking at home. He said that, there was one NNPC job that he applied for. He was praying that he would get it. I said, what's the big deal? He said, you know government. I said, what is government? He said, government jobs are secure. I said, so was NITEL job secure? I said, NITEL was government too. Was it not? I said, mommy, oh God, you don't get the point. That generation has passed. Of security. Look, you can work for federal government and one day they privatize federal government and you're on your own. You'll be surprised. I'm going to ask something. The circumstances that God will use to produce his work in you, you may never have seen it before. I don't know whether you got what I said. He said, eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard. That is, the way by which God wants to work in your behalf, it may never have happened before. Because when people say that, I can't do it, what they mean is that, judging by the current circumstances and the history that I'm conversant with, it is impossible. Do you get my point? You know, I was reading a book some time ago, and you're talking about the fact that the two prophets in Revelations, that they will die, they will be killed, and the whole world will see it. Now, 100 years ago, people had all kinds of interpretations for the whole world will see it. Because there was no CNN. There was no live broadcast of, live images all over the world. But a child born these days, when he picks the Bible, and he reads that something will happen, and the whole world will see it. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't cross it. He doesn't think about it. He knows that Glo is advertising TV on your phone with DSTV. That somebody can be driving as in a car, and he picks out his 3G phone, and he says, something's happening in America right now. He said, what? A friend calls him. He said, let me tune in. And that's it. He's looking at it live. But 100 years ago, people were thinking that John did not know what he was saying. Do you get my point? Now, if they tell you that God is going to come and deliver you, and like carry you like birds on the wing and stuff like that. If they say it now, you are waiting for a plane. You are used to planes. They fly. They can deliver people from anywhere. They can, you know. But 500 years ago, you see, how would that happen? I forget it. Can't happen. Where there's some a prophetic teacher will now come about trying to describe how the spirit moves and it can carry people. But you know, this day and age, you don't even need all that fantastic interpretation. You want to see it like tune to CNN. You want to be carried like a plane, like a bird. Come on, enter a plane. No, I was reading something in the latest edition of Economist. It's an advertisement anyway from John Templeton organization and interviewing different people on has science made God disappear? And one man said, yes, it should have. Different people were saying all kinds of things. And I just laughed. I said, foolish people. One man said that, you know, people should have understood that those things are ridiculous. How can there be day and night before the sun was created? That those things are absurd. And I just shook my head. I said, ignorant man talking. If he was a man of faith, he should have asked himself, that what did he mean when he said day and night? Because it happened before the sun. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to bring out something. The way by which God will give you explanations, the way by which God will produce events in your life, you may never have seen it. That is why, you know, I told you I don't believe this thing works. Once it is written, I believe it. Once God has declared it, I believe it. Because the one I am going to experience, maybe it has never worked in the life of anybody before me. Because when God sends, he sends a spirit. Do you get my point? When God sends, he sends a spirit. Last time we were in Benin, we were talking about this. I told you we were going to discuss it, this financing of ministry and all of that. I shared things with people. One of the reasons why I did is I said, look, there's a divine order. Let's learn it. It has not worked like that in the past. You see it on, I don't mean that to be critical, as just a matter of fact. You see it on TBN. People say that, well, this is a special gift we are giving you this week. If you give us $20, we'll give you this special gift. You know why they do that? That's the best way they know to get money. From day one, I told myself, I ain't going to do it. If you see me do it, no, it's backsliding. Just tell yourself convincingly, Pastor, it's backsliding. Doesn't mean I'm a sinner now. Just means that my faith has failed in that area. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And I tell people all the time, no, that you will never see me do it. He said, what do you mean? I said, wait, was I called to preach? Yes. I said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit, that there are people who are called also to pay. But forget that one. Oh, you know what I do? I pray for them. Yes, I do. I do. Some I know, some I don't, but I pray. You know, people, Jesus prayed for different kinds of people. He prayed for those that he could see, Peter, James, and John. And he prayed for those who we believe by their word. That's how he did his prayer. I am praying for these ones, not only them, but for anyone who will believe. Just because Peter said. Let me tell you something, that's how spiritual things work. Anytime you pick your Bible and you read the account of Peter and you say amen, there's a prayer that Jesus prayed that's working on your behalf. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. So I said, look, that's what I do. I pray for them. I'm bringing out something. Whether it has worked for other people like that in the past, I don't know. But I discovered a truth. All right? And I'm sticking with it. You know what I believe? No, this one, I know for sure. Don't be saying, I am not shaking about it at all. You know, one day Moses wanted to build a tabernacle. And people were bringing gifts. Then the workmen told Moses that the gifts are so many, we don't have space to walk again. So Moses said, it is enough. You know, you hardly find that in churches these days. You know that? But what do we find? Brethren, we still need... I'm laughing at all of us, not that anybody, do you get my point? She said, we have not reached a particular level, and I have sworn under God I will get to the Moses level. Yes. Say, brethren, you know, I want you to tax yourself. There's great work to be done. You won't hear that from Banky's man. No, you won't. You won't. I will instruct people with the word of God, and I will pray. I've said that thing again and again. That one day they will say, Pastor, take. I'll look at the amount of money. I'll say, what are we, that is, I'll go home and start saying, God, what do we do just to be able to do the work of ministry with this one? Because, sir, all what we have been doing is paying for TV, praying for satellite space, paying for this, paying for that, that all our expenses in 10 years is covered by this single offering. So, dear Lord, what do we do? That's the kind of one you will announce gently to your people. Please, brethren, please, if there's any money you want to give us, invest it first. Don't bring it yet. Later on, right now. The one you guys have brought, we have not yet finished spending it. And please, don't distract us from the ministry of the word and prayer. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make sure I'm not too poor or too rich. He said, if I'm poor, I will steal. And that's why a lot of people lie. It's poverty. He said, or if I have too much, I will take the name of the Lord in vain. I will start doing the one that God hasn't sent me. So you will tell brethren, please, I know you love us and you want this work to move forward. But please, can you invest your money somewhere else first? Next year. Yes, that's the Moses anointing. Has it worked for other people like that before? I don't know. I don't care. But I discovered from the scriptures, yes, most certainly I did. Do I believe it? Oh, you can be sure I do. Will it produce results? Relax, it will. You are getting what I'm going to say? Yes, that's what is written. That is what God has said. It has built a hope in me. Because, you know, price of rice has doubled. The young lions can hunger and thirst. But they that seek the Lord. Look, price of rice, I don't know why people shake at such things. So look at the wheat now, very expensive. Is this the first time? It will come down again. It goes. They go around in cycles. No, all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. The only one that abides forever is what? The word of God. So we hold on to the word of God. They say, bread people are on strike. They're analyzing prices. I said, they will soon bake bread. They will bake it again. And the price will go up. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we will have more money to buy the more expensive bread. You won't hear me say, hey, what are we going to do now? Look at it. Somebody was telling me about a comedian in Lagos who turned it to a joke and said, God, don't catch all the Ajebota people. That those of us who they chop garri and yam, the price never changed. They're all the ones that are chopping bread and rice. See, also, fried rice with chicken, say the price has gone up. Look, for me, they say, things are getting so expensive. I said, listen, I said that one from day one, and God has not failed me yet. If you triple the price of fuel, I will have money to buy. As I said, you know, this car is very fuel efficient. So go and buy a lawnmower and be driving it because it's fuel efficient. In Jesus' name, we will drive a car that has 12 cylinders. And we will have money to buy the fuel in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. Don't let the events of this life drive you up and down. Be careful that the world doesn't drive you up and down. Be very careful. There are times, let me tell you something. There are times you will sit down and do something very foolish just to prove to God that you believe him. I'm telling you. Everybody running, man, look at what opportunity is. I say, I'm tired of running up and down. He said, look at the potential. He said, no, wait. God, I am tired. This last week, I went to one opportunity here. The week before, I was here. Going up and down like Satan. Say, God, let's do something. In repentance and in rest, will you be saved? He said, God, I'm not moving from here. Sit down. Opportunity, I'm not going. This time around, I am not going. People say, no, man, you are being slack. No. You see, for you personally at that point in time, you are trying to win yourself from this satanic behavior. Going to and fro. So from where have you come? He said, from going to and fro the surface of this earth. That's what I mean by satanic behavior. There are times you have to win yourself. No, I'm telling you, you've been chasing opportunity from here to here to here to here to here. Ha! And you never catch them. You should know that in repentance and in rest, you will be saved. Sit down somewhere. So opportunity is coming. Say, I'm not going. Say, don't you want? He said, yes, I don't want that one. Anyone that will not come to my house, I don't want. You'll be amazed that one day somebody will just call you. Say, oh boy, where are you? They say, I did for house. Please, we need to see you now. Something important is going down. He said, sorry, I'm not going anywhere. He said, please, we will send our driver. I said, very good. Send him. No, I know what I'm saying. I mean, let's sit down on our message, all right? Jeremiah chapter 1, all right? That's where we were. So God spoke to him. He said, do not say I'm a youth. We have established that is what God has already spoken that we must say, and that is when we swim in divine authority. He said, whatever I send you to, you will go there, and whatever I tell you to say, that is exactly what you will say. He said, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. That's a commandment. God does not give advice. Please, you must understand this. God wasn't giving counsel. he was given an express instruction. Disobey at your own peril. He said, do not be afraid of their faces. Why? Again, he doesn't say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. No. He said, the reason is because I am with you to deliver you. There is a way you operate such things. Sometimes what you do is, maybe it looks like you want to be afraid. You don't just say, I am not afraid. Because God always gives a reason. And what's the reason he gave? I am with you to deliver you. So when the opposition comes on so strong, you look them in the faces and simply tell yourself, I am not afraid because the Lord is with me to deliver me. When you speak according to what God has said, then that spirit, don't forget that, then that spirit that he sent with you, you know, the Lord has sent me and his spirit, then that spirit is manifested. Do you get my point? It's not about trying. You know, I've said this thing 1,000 times. I hope people will understand what I'm saying. Christianity is not about trying. It's about discovering and agreeing. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, what has he said? I agree with him and repeat it. That's all. It's not about trying. Don't forget our spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. I've not forgotten. I'm getting ready for it. One day I will announce that we will start. And the reason, what we're trying to do, which is why I'm talking about it now, is that we're trying to discover and agree. Because once you discover and you agree, there is no how on earth you will not succeed. There's no how. You will most certainly succeed. It's not possible for you to fail. Because we want to discover and what? Agree. There are things that God wants to do, but people are working with a wrong, maybe God wants them to, maybe a man is praying for a breakthrough, praying for prosperity. And in his mind, all right, it's in Lagos. In his mind, it's in America. In his mind, the thing is in Abuja. Now, God said, I have heard your prayer for prosperity. I have heard your prayer for breakthrough. Do you follow? Now, I want to move you down to Abakiliki and you will discover the prosperity and breakthrough that I planned before your father married your mother. Do you get my point? Then, one day, of course, because that's how God moves. He will come and a friend will call you and say, oh boy, job day for Abakiliki. Because you have been praying for prosperity, which you thought was in Lagos. You say, I know they go. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But then if we understand the plan of God and we understand the purpose of God, next time God says, job day for Abakiliki, through a friend, instantly, you don't know, it doesn't cross your mind to say, yeah, is it possible? You just go and check it out. Do you follow my point? And that is how you will discover the place that God has ordained for you when you have removed all those hindrances. That's why I'm teaching on, like I said, discovering and agreeing. We'll talk about spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. You know, take business as an example. One of the things we'll explain is that business is about blessing people. It's not about making money. Do you follow my point? Business is simply give and it shall be given unto you. You bless people with something and God causes them to give back to you. A lot of fantastic investments or ideas that people will have executed, maybe in a country like ours. You know why they never did it? They checked how much money they will make. And it did not look like it was big, so they changed their minds. Do you understand? Do you know if they would have counted how many people will be blessed? You know, my example I like to give all the time is that of all these British telecom companies. We wanted to roll out GSM. Our president, Obasanjo, then went and explained to Tony Blair, said, Nigeria is a good place. Please tell these people to come and invest. And they checked and said, after checking everything, those guys don't have money. They can't pay for phone. No, that was the conclusion. They looked at us. No money in their pocket. Most of them are living below the poverty line. Phones cost above the prosperity line. You know, look, this is what they call a man of God. If a real man of God was there and say, they cannot come out of poverty if we don't help them communicate. Do you understand my point? Let us see the little we can do. You know, if you see a lot of the so-called aid to send to Africa, they send to Africa. I'm sorry to say, it's pure wickedness. I'm not one of those that believe in punishing the rich man so as to bless the poor man. No, I don't believe in it. That's how you remain poorer still. And you see a rich man, thank God for his life. Do you get my point? Don't wish that his car will jam. The car won't jam. He has ABS. Do you understand my point? Okada is more likely to jam first. Believe me. I've never seen Okada with ABS. You don't see him before? I'm telling you. And in case he jams, he has airbags. So when you see a rich man, wish him well. Do you follow my point? No, I believe that thing. There's some people inside their hat. See all these big houses. Don't mind them. They are not comfortable inside. What if the house just collapses now? More huts collapse every day than my houses. No, get the point clear. So I don't believe in that at all, all right? What I'm just trying to say is this. When is it they're sending it a lot of times? You know what they do? I'm sorry, this is a matter of fact. They use it to create employment for their people. There was a time they offered Nigeria $1 billion in loan education to support education. But we had to only buy all the computers. We were supposed to buy supply computers to universities and all of that. We couldn't buy the computers from where we wanted. We had to buy it from America. And they said that the interest rate is only 1.5% per annum or something like that. One joke. They don't know that's still a lot of money. Let me explain. Go and check when they are selling to themselves. No interest payment for 3 years. They will write it clearly. It's enslavement. It's wickedness. Thank God we didn't take it. Give us the money. Let's go and buy from Asia. No, they don't go agree. They don't go agree. No, so I'm bringing out something. A lot of the people, they don't love you. And it's not their fault. And I'm not saying you should be angry with them. You are responsible for yourself. Do you follow my point? Don't worry anybody else about your wahala. But if you are the rich man, help somebody else. That's what I always preach. Don't demand somebody else helps you. No. Look up to God. From whence comes my help? Do you understand my point? My help comes from the Lord. That's the way it is, okay? Now, let me just complete my message. Talking about discovering and agreeing. So if the people are taught about that, let us really help these people develop. Then we may not be able to build networks all over the place, invest so much money, but let us just come simply and build a small one for them to communicate between Lagos and Abuja and Port Harcourt. Let's just take the three major cities. Do you follow? Do you know they will have come and discovered that the people on IMF paper, they are living below poverty line. But in reality, oh boy, the boys, they chop that this poverty, they fear them. No. You won't know. You know what somebody said recently? What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. I forgot who told me this story. I think I was in Benin. This is our convention. Somebody was telling me this. There are some photographers went to the, Gambia. No, Uganda. They wanted to do a documentary on Uganda. They went to all the poor places, all the slums. So 15 people, father, mother, children, and cousins living in one room. They go photograph that one. They show where they bath on that tree outside. Very nice to photograph. Then when they finish all of that, the man said, okay, let's go to the other side of town. They now went to the Victoria Island of Uganda. Photograph not. They said, no, this is not a true picture of the situation. The guy said, there are Ugandans living in there. No, I'm serious. People said, no. When they want to show it internationally, that's why I Richard Quest. I love that guy. I loved Richard Quest because he came to Lagos. Do you know? The only way I knew it was Lagos was when he took his photograph from Oshodi. I said, you know, only one place looks like this on this earth. Nowhere in China, nowhere in Mexico, not in South Africa, nowhere in the world. Only Oshodi, not even in Nigeria apart from Oshodi. Looks like Oshodi. When you see the human heads and the yellow buses, they are not going anywhere because the gospel is so bad. I said, this is now Oshodi. Then I heard him say, welcome to Nigeria. I said, God bless you. Then, do you know, when I watched the program, even me, I feel, I said, this is not Nigeria. When the guy went to some two areas for a Koyu for VI, when he came out of one of these steam baths, and the guy was smiling like, yes, I just had the steam bath. Of course, the guy lodged in Sheraton. He showed us what Nigeria can be like. And he explained. And that's something I like about people like Richard Quest and Reader's Digest. They will tell you, yes, there are problems, and they will give you a few tips on avoiding the problems. Everywhere has wahala. So a man wants to magnify the problem. No. Do you follow my point? So those guys magnified our problem and said that we cannot buy phones. And you know what happened? MTN, those Zimbabwe guys, Econet, they came.
I said, my our brethren, they can buy phone. Don't mind that demon, they go, they pretend. They can't just watch us. Look, I remember one of my friends, he works in MTN, he's an engineer. He said, when they were building, that's when they were rolling out, that they used to build one base station. That is, they will build a base station, all right, and it's instantly overloaded. He said, the cost of building a base station, that base station makes it in one day. He was working in Port Harcourt. He's still there. He told me, he said, that when he said then MTN was building base stations like crazy. Because once they mounted that station, that one makes its money back in 24 hours for the volume of traffic going on it. Ha! The guys looked and said, my God, we want a piece. You know, they are running down now. They are running down now. Before I told you, when the door is always closed before they start serving the feast. It's all the crumbs they want to come and collect. When not that empty and get their own personal problems, eh? Those guys will have been like Microsoft in Nigeria, dominating everywhere. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. If the people had some love for the people and said, let us help them, do you follow my point? They will have discovered, you know, if you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said something there. Ruth, you know Ruth? Ruth, the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. The great-grandmother of David. We look at her now, a woman of great faith. But do you know Ruth did not try to have faith? You know that? Read that book, I explained it there. Ruth didn't try. Ruth just looked at her mother-in-law and said, this woman will suffer if she goes back home alone. That was all. The Bible says faith works by love. Naomi must not suffer. That was all that was in her mind. That was why Ruth followed Naomi home. And then God now established her. Look, if those guys that Obasanjo called that time and said, come, if they had said, let us see how we can help people. The Bible said, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. He said, but there is he that withholds more than his meat, but tends only towards poverty. That's a, now, as I'm talking about this spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies, is discovering and agreeing. If they had discovered that business is not just about getting, it is about blessing. Listen, they would have been drinking. Do you know how much money MTN turns over in a year? If you hear it, you'll be afraid. They said, no, they are living below poverty line. They can't afford phone. They can't. You know, now, we afford, in fact, you know, some people, some of us can use phone now to do spoon and knife when we want to eat. Say, give me a Nokia to use to cut that yam. I want a Samsung to pick the meat. Yes, because before you finish, you'll buy one phone, getting your utility for it, another one comes out. And you think, but you know what I'm saying is it's true. You know, I thought about it. To fill my tank costs more money than buying a handset. Yes, and I have to fill this tank every week. Oh God, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what was I going to explain? It's about agreeing with God and speaking like he's speaking. That is what puts us in authority. That's what I'm saying. Let's continue reading Jeremiah. He said, God now touched my mouth and said to me, verse 9, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. He said, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And then, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, because I am ready to perform my word. I like the way King James says it. He said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. That is, once I say something, I don't let it be. I sit down and I make sure that everything I say comes to pass. He said, look from the book of the Lord and read. None of these will fail, neither shall any lack its mate. He said, why? Because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has gathered them. That's the same thing he was telling Jeremiah here. Please let me read this one before I close. Again, in verse 13, he says, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. Now, I don't want to read all of that because let me not miss my point. They describe all the things he wants to do. He said, I will utter my judgments against them. Verse 17 says, therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you, and do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and the bronze walls against the whole land, against kings, princes, priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Please notice what he said. I have a plan. Calamity is going to come forth. He said, therefore, prepare yourself to do what? To speak exactly according to the plan that I have. Please, I hope you are getting my point. It is not to defend yourself, no. It is to speak according to the plan that I have. Listen, children of God, that is the assignment. That is how authority comes. Later on, we'll still continue this discussion next time. Because, you see, life responds to words. Do you get my point? And the most potent words on this earth are the ones spoken first by God and echoed by men. Real prophecy is not to just get up and talk. Real prophecy is to discover that which God has expressed that he plans to do. Do you follow my point? And as long as you are speaking only in accordance with that, he said, they can rise up against you, but they will not overcome you. He said, because I am with you to deliver you. Are you getting my point? In the presence of the word of God, that's where the real power, the real authority is. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, it's the same story every day. You know, I said something about that. Let me close with that. That Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ, three temptations. Now, we think that those are just the three temptations of Jesus Christ, that particular day. But actually, it wasn't. I've said it before. Now, actually, what happens is that was a summary. God has a way of summarizing things for us to see. Do you follow me? That is, every day in life, those three temptations come up again and again. Those were the temptations that Jesus Christ faced as a young man. Those were the temptations he faced when he was in his 20s until that particular day. God just gave us a summary of what he has had to face. And I'm explaining that you and I face the same temptations again every day. Use the anointing I have given you, turn it to bread. You must understand something. If you're a preacher, listen to this. You know, if I finish preaching very powerfully, and I tell you that, brethren, as I finish preaching, there is an anointing upon that word. Each person connect with it with 5,000 naira. If you don't have it here, give me a piece of paper. And say, God, this is my covenant with you. You know, all of it, look, you will go and bring it. You know, that's our Jeep. We'll buy it after a few weeks. What do you think? What am I trying to explain? The discipline is not with you not to respond to such calls, because you don't even know when it will really be genuine. The discipline is with me not to do such things. And I say, we need it. Listen, when they told Jesus to turn stones to bread, he was hungry. So the need does not justify it. That is the temptation we go through every day. We think one day God is going to call you and say, hey, Jugu Bege, come, time for your temptation. 40 days fast, after that I send devil after you. Of course, if he did that, you think you will get ready now. You will get ready. Say, Pastor Vanki, please pray for me. I'm about to encounter Satan. Pray for me that I will have the grace. As soon as you finish, before you disappear to the mountain, the first temptation comes. You don't realize that's come. You are waiting to go to the mountain. No, I know what I'm saying. No. But let's even leave that. How did Jesus overcome it? Let me tell you something. Every day in life, don't ever use things like this to overcome temptation. No, me, I can't. That's a joke. You know that is a joke. It's a joke. There's no man or woman that does not have vulnerable moments. There's none. Do you follow my point? The defense is just what Jesus did. He just
all the time he will quote. Now, we think that he's reminding himself of the commandment of God. No, he's releasing the power to obey into the situation. You know, I explained something, that when Jesus looked at the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." It wasn't advice. We think it's advice. The same way, okay, let me ask you. When he saw the man who was lying down on his bed beside the pool of Siloam, and he says, "Take up your pallet and walk," was he advice? No. You, do you want to be made whole? The story is that take up your bed and walk. In the same manner, I looked at that woman and said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now, this is my commandment. Go and sin no more." There was power to live righteously, releasing to her life. Do you get my point? In the same manner, when he faced Satan, it wasn't strength. You know, I keep saying, Christianity is not about trying, struggling. Let us also try. No. Christianity is about discovering God and talking in agreement with what you have discovered. The man was hungry. He was hungry. It would not have been called a temptation if it was not a temptation. Do you follow my point? How did he overcome it? There was a release of the power contained in God's word into the situation. That was what he did. So every day, situations come, say, "Don't mind these politicians. Why are they all chopping money?" Me, if I'm a politician, I will never chop money. I will never chop money. God say you. Okay. I also make you secretary of your school association. You go see. You won't chop it. They will just say, "Take transport to here and come back." Say, "You didn't take transport, but take the money anyway and you collect it." What did you call that? Your company sends you. Go to Lagos and go and do business. Bring us the receipts from the hotel and we'll pay you back your expenses. And if you want, Chukwubike, you did? Yes, so, I get job for Lagos. You pitch for Chukwubike house. Say, "Chukwubike, what did they sell invoice for here?" Holy Ghost Incorporated Hotels and Towers. 2 nights at 10,005 per night. No, don't put up your hand. I'm not asking for those who have done it before. Now go to the office. Say, "It's my entitlement. Now it's my entitlement." After all, if I stayed there, they will have paid. But did you stay there? The receipt, if they bring it before the judgment throne of man, not even God, won't you go to jail for forgery? Okay, you've been blaming politician. I'll show you now that you're a politician too. It's true. You don't know. That was when David was raking. God said, "Relax, relax, thief, relax. Who did that? I go kill him." God said, "You? Yeah. Now you therefore kill first." Yeah, I was shouting about somebody. But how do you handle such situations? He said, "This is what I chop him. What if you were the minister?" He said, "God has said, be content with that which you have. Because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Didn't we just read that? He said, "Let your conversation or lifestyle be free of the love of money." I told you it's not advice, it's a commandment. Say, "Lord, the Lord has said that." Once you say it like that, you know, God knows the one that you can't handle. Are you getting my point? He will give you a boss. No, God knows how he trains his people. He will give you a boss that does not require.